Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Scientists in Australia have discovered a 400-kilometre wide impact zone created by a huge asteroid that actually broke into two chunks just moments before it slammed into the surface of the Earth millions of years ago. It's actually the largest impact zone that's ever been found. It's not as if you can see that crater today, but in the satellite shots you can just see these extraordinary markings of this impact zone. It's written up in a geology journal published in 2015. The impact zone is in the Warburton Basin, so don't think of wine countries, think of parched country on the sort of the border of Northern Territory, Queensland and South Australia, an area that I know pretty well from my days in oil and gas. Massive impact zone. It's estimated that each of those asteroids, when the one split into two, that each of them would have been about 10 kilometres across. When God came into our neighbourhood, when he took on human flesh, the impact was greater than if you took all of the asteroids in the cosmos and they simultaneously impacted planet Earth. Impact zone. Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. But God's method of this cosmos impacting significant event, the most significant event, was actually a cross. It was a cross that flowed red blood from a heart of love. I mean, when Jesus comes back, which he's going to, it's a cert, there will be a literal rendering of the heavens. But in his first coming, God in human flesh, he didn't come as judge, he came as saviour. He came in love, and the Lord Jesus continues through the Spirit to come in love this day. There are spiritual explosions when the kingdom of God pushes back the kingdom of darkness. Of course there are. It is a very real impact zone. God has come as deliverer. He's come in love to literally snatch out, to rescue people who are ensnared, entrapped, enslaved in the kingdom of darkness. When Jesus came, I like to think of it in my mind, it was like an outpost of heaven. And he established that outpost of heaven by his words and by his works, his miraculous deeds. And then that impact zone that he established was then passed on by him to who? To us. To everyone who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say words like that, even though preaching is actually not an easy gig, the words can roll out, can't they? But I want you to think about it. An outpost of heaven was established, the kingdom of God, and everyone who names the name of the Lord Jesus without exception is commissioned by him to go and extend that kingdom in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I don't want those words just to sort of either roll off my tongues or just in and out of your ear. I want them to sink deeply, to find deep, deep root in our lives. It's the commission for everyone because we're all ministers if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus. And that commission should consume us, excite us, drive us, and compel us. We know what the commission is, don't we? Let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I've called that the main game. Doesn't matter what title you put to it, it is the principal commission, and all other commissions in Scripture actually fall under that overarching wing. And in seeing breakthrough prayer answered on earth as it is in heaven, you have to operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what our Master did in his earthly ministry. In John's first letter, 1 John in chapter 2, it speaks about the Antichrist and Antichrist. Yes, at the end days, there will be a personification of all evil in the Antichrist. But there is a spirit of Antichrist which is at work in the world. It was at work in that first century. It continues to be at work. And when you think about the spirit of Antichrist, think of what the word Christ is. It's anointed one. What would be the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of anti-anointing. It's the spirit that goes and locks a cupboard after the first century on the work of the Holy Spirit. We'll let a few little things slip through, but we'll lock up the rest. The spirit of Antichrist is the one that kind of stirs up the hearts of people. Come on, Holy Spirit, please don't get too carried away. I'm not sure that we can cope with too much of these miraculous things. That's actually a spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit of anti-anointing. In seeing the breakthrough prayer answered, kingdom now, we have to operate continually, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, in the wisdom of God. It needs to be our cultural creed. And because wisdom is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus, it means bringing Jesus into every area of influence. It doesn't matter what it is. It's mowing the lawn. It's talking to someone over the back fence. It's your favourite coffee shop. It's the workplace, the schoolyard, the college. Whatever it is, we are carriers of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and we are to bring Jesus into all of those situations. He is the Word. He is the Word made flesh. And the Word of God, the Scriptures, they all point to Him. They exalt Him. They're about Him. And so, like, if you just sort of put all that together, of course, if we're going to fulfill the main game, you have to be people of Word and Spirit. It's not one or the other. It's full of the Word and full of the Spirit. Well, that's where we've come to in our little farewell tour. I sense that the Father is stirring our hearts individually as a church about bringing heaven to earth. I pray and trust that you're all on board with what we've been covering. In fact, I pray and trust that you're on board with what we've preached and taught over the years. But if we are really going to be God's instruments in the answer to that prayer in all of our areas of influence, you're going to have to be more than just on board. See, I think it, at one level, it's relatively straightforward to go, yep, yeah, I can go back and check that from Scripture. That all seems kosher, tick the boxes. But that actually won't get us into a position to be the powerful instruments that the Lord wants to use. There needs to be this fire burning deep within us because crap happens in our life. And you can't let the stuff that happens through this age keep quenching the fire. It has to be a fire that burns and burns. What is it that we need? What is the motivating force, if you like, that we need to have within us? Well, like in everything, Jesus is our guide. Grab your Bibles. I'll put a few of the passages up, but we're in Matthew, in our reading from Matthew 9. Verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into his harvest field. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Grab the scene. The Lord Jesus has been anointed by the Holy Spirit in his baptism. Then in his Galilean ministry, he's gone to his hometown synagogue. He has chosen the part of the scroll of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, and recorded in Luke 4, he has given his manifesto about his ministry. And he has said, today these scriptures are fulfilled in your midst. He is ministering in the impact zone. He proclaims that the kingdom of God has come. He heals and he delivers. So I want you to see the flow. He is anointed on high by the Holy Spirit, and then that anointing flows out in miraculous power, dunamis power. You see that? He's anointed and then it flows out in his miraculous deeds and indeed the authority of the words that he uses. What's driving it? What is the engine room that is deep, deep within him? Verse 36. Let's say it together. It's the word. Compassion. A little louder. Compassion. How do you define it? How do you define compassion? I love this definition. Makes sense to me. Compassion is love brought to bear on an individual and a specific area of hurt. Love brought to bear on an individual and a specific area of hurt. So, the fruit of the Spirit, called love, needs to be focused in compassion. Think about the analogy with the sun's rays. Take your magnifying glass, let the sun shine on it, and what happens? The rays get concentrated, don't they? On a very specific point. Massive energy, heat, power comes to that particular point. The magnifying glass is focusing the sun's rays, and that's compassion. It is love which is brought to bear on an individual and a specific area of hurt. You see, it was a heart of love that drove Jesus to do what? Go through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. He's full of the Spirit. He is completely and totally sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he sees reality. When he looks out on those crowds, he is seeing true reality. He's seeing that the people are wounded. They are physically wounded, emotionally wounded, and spiritually wounded. And he sees that they're lost. They're lost, and he's the good shepherd. And so he commissions us, his love messengers. That's what he does in verse 37. To go out into the harvest field. It's white unto harvest. Not sure why in our translations they put the chapter 10 split where they did. Kind of understand it, then flows on and talks about the disciples. But I want you to see that verse 1 of chapter 10 is just that flow on from that direction to go into the harvest field. To go out doing what? Proclaiming, healing, and freeing people from the oppression and enslavement of Satan. I've spoken about my online mentor, great writer, great man of God, James Gole. I was reading one of his blogs this week. And he writes this. These are the days of the rebirthing of the evangelist. As Billy Graham graduated into heaven, a mantle for the evangelist has fallen. This mantle is not one that has descended on just one man or one woman, but rather is a calling of grace from God granted to an entire generation. There is an influx of souls beginning to come into the kingdom of God around the world, unlike anything we have seen in the body of Christ for 50 years. Yes, it is time for prophetic evangelism outside the four walls of the church. Power encounters in the street. Miracles in the marketplace. And prophetic revelation released in a relational context will become daily experiences. Why? James Gold writes, God has the harvest on his mind. Friends, we are to live out focused love, compassion. It's the pattern of Jesus' ministry. Agree? Yep. Yeah. It reflects the heart of the Father. And when we think about Jesus' ministry, remember, he is the image, he is the exact representation of the invisible God. So with your Bibles there, flick to Matthew 14. In Matthew 14, Jesus sees a large crowd and his heart of love focuses into compassion. So what does he do? He heals all who were sick. Of course he did. Sickness is not of God. Apostle John testifies, the Son of God has come to destroy the works of the evil one. And his compassion keeps flowing. The people are hungry. Have a look at in chapter 14, verse 16. He expects that his disciples will act in his authority and power. But their faith hasn't really risen to the occasion. Flick over to chapter 15, verse 32. He calls all his disciples and says, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and they've got nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. It's coming from that heart of compassion. Look at verses 29 to 33. Jesus is clearly expecting the disciples will be used by the Holy Spirit to meet the hunger needs of these people. But again, they don't pick up the ball and they have just seen the feeding of the 5,000. Kind of speaks to me that sometimes we can close our eyes to what the Lord is so clearly showing us. Rod, step out in faith. Take the step. Flick to chapter 20, verse 34. Here's the scene. Jesus is leaving Jericho and there are two blind men that are sitting by the roadside. They call out for mercy. The crowd, and the crowd represents a world ensnared, enslaved by Satan, who actually doesn't know how to even spell the word mercy. The crowd rebuke the men. But look at the impact zone. Jesus stops. He has compassion on them. He touches their eyes, and immediately they receive their sight and followed him. So I want us to capture this truth today. Love is the energizing motivation behind the miraculous, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. Love is the energizing motivation behind the miraculous, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord calls all of us to continue his ministry in word and works in mighty deeds. So, ask yourself in your mind, do you want to operate in that dunamis power, miraculous power of the Holy Spirit? Kind of interesting if you're saying not really, you might want to just go back and have a convo with the Lord because our Master is calling us to do that. So if I assume because we're disciples that the answer is yes, then if you want that power in your ministry, and we're all ministers, then the answer is follow the path of love. Jesus was moved with compassion towards the multitudes. I want you to note that before he brought healing to the masses or even to an individual, what did he sense in his inner man? He sensed love. And then that love was projected. And as the love was projected, grace was manifested. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and Lord, then we are love messengers of our great God who is love. We are love messengers who are sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit using his magnificent gifts to meet people where they're at with their unmet love needs. If you think of pop music down through the decades, the reason why just dominantly this theme of love is there, because the world just cries out for it. Because in everyone's life, there are these unmet love needs. And we are sent out as God's agents, his love messengers, into such a hurting world. A hurting world where hearts bleed. where they are wounded, wounded spiritually, cut off from God, enslaved in the kingdom of darkness, blinded, wounded emotionally because of what people have done to them or what they've actually done themselves. Wounded, wounded physically. Before an individual embraces the Lord, I reckon, I don't know, plus 90% of the time, the person embraces who? You. Before they embrace the Lord, they embrace you. So you have to have a sensitivity, a spiritual sensitivity to the unmet love needs of those that you are living life with out there in your metrons, out in your areas of influence. It means being sensitive to the Spirit, hearing what the Spirit's saying, being able to see spiritually. We're called to be love messages. That's what our Master was in his earthly ministry. That's what he is. And that's what we're actually called to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you actually can't give out what you haven't received. We are not the originators of God's love. We don't have the ability in and within ourselves to correctly love someone. But God, in his mercy and grace, comes and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 5. That is, it's shed abroad in our inner person. But if you're going to give love out, you're going to have love encounters yourself with the Lord. And those love encounters occur as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring transformation. Remember from last week, when new creations in Christ, our spirit has come alive. The love of God, if you like, is resident within us. But our mind, our will, our emotions need heaps and heaps of transformation. And for the love to be projected out, you need to make sure that the mind, the will and the emotions are not acting as a blockage. Is this making sense? So you need to be allowing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to take what is resident within your spirit and bring transformation, reduce those blockages, bring transformation in mind, will and emotions so that love can actually be projected out into a world that so desperately needs it. So if we think about last week on Word and Spirit, you might know heaps and heaps of Scripture, at least as far as the content of it is concerned, but actually have many darkened areas in your mind. You know, for years, and hopefully with a spirit of observation, not judgmentalism, I've been staggered, and even in recent times, with personal circumstances in our family, of those with significant human knowledge of the content of Scripture, but the focus, love and the compassion is not flowing. If we don't take our own woundedness, because remember, you have been saved, you've been justified, declared right when you turn to the Lord, you are being saved, and in the Lord's presence you will be saved. So in this journey that we're in currently, present, if we don't take our own woundedness to the cross, which is the place where Jesus has completely paid the price for it, take it to the cross, if we don't do that, if we don't invite the Holy Spirit to then come and bring deep healing, deep inner healing in our lives, and you then go out into your metrons and areas of influence, you'll go out as wounded messengers. You might be a personality who goes, yeah, but what I'm going to do, I'm still going to preach the gospel. And it'll come across with a harshness. It won't come across with compassion. It won't come across with love. Why? Not because you don't have God's love, but it actually hasn't been allowed to come. Because you actually have to discipline yourself. Lord, yes, that's an area of hurt. I am taking it to the cross. You paid for it. And allow the Holy Spirit, who's almighty powerful, to come and bring healing. As my mate, James Maloney, having met him once, says, you have to become a lover before a deliverer. Is that a memorable quote? Can we say that together? You have to become a lover before a deliverer. And there's a little verse that's tucked away in John's second letter. It's verse 6. Let's say it together. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So Maloney continues, a man who's been mightily used by the Lord. He says, it starts for us with a love encounter with Jesus, us, and then with others. He says, all we can do in ministry is provide a love encounter for others. We can't make them receive it. We can't determine how they're going to receive it. We can't determine how they're going to respond or how they're going to react. Maloney, who must have been used by the Lord in literally, I don't know what it is. It's in the thousands, might be the tens of thousands, seeing people healed. He says, I can't get people healed. All I can do is initiate by God's grace an encounter. Whether it's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a prophetic word, gifts of healing, it's actually up to them how they're going to respond. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, in our inner person. And so I appeal to you to be open to the Lord and say, Lord, I want that love that's been shed abroad in my inner person to come and bring transformation so that my emotions are fueled by love and not hurt. So that my emotions are fueled by love and not anger. So that my emotions are fueled by love and not by unforgiveness. So that my mind is driven by love. So that my will is directed by love. And then as we project love, remember we're doing that through our five senses, as the Spirit leads us in our metrons, grace is manifested. As we project love, grace is manifested. The classical description of grace is unmerited favour. It's okay, but it doesn't give the full picture of how grace is used in Scripture. Grace, in fact, is the empowering presence of God. It's that which comes alongside us. It's that which enables us to do what only Jesus can do. It actually enables us to function as the King functioned. Perhaps think of grace as God's operational power. So the love of God, as we turn to the Lord Jesus, comes into our inner person. It's shed abroad in us. Open your hearts, that can bring transformation. We project love, and as we project love, grace is manifested. The empowering presence of God is manifested. But don't get focused on the power. Stay focused on the energizing motivation, which is love. I'm sure you're enjoying the Australian Open at the moment. Great game last night. Novak will be playing tonight in the final, having obliterated his opponent in the semis. I was reading in the paper that he was asked about his emotional and physical recovery after a very tough 2 years, where his ranking dropped from 1 to 22. Specifically, he was asked, why do you play? And his answer was this, it's love and passion for the game. Love was the energizing motivation in Jesus' ministry. He came to set the world free, and he came in love. And again, that love was focused in compassion for broken, hurting people with a love deficit. So you and I, if we're followers of the Lord Jesus, we are called, we are commissioned, we are instructed, we are encouraged to be carriers of a love letter from God. What does the love letter encompass? It encompasses the words and the works, the mighty deeds of Jesus. Where do we take it? We take the love letter as directed by the Spirit and in the Spirit's power into our metrons. Well, you're going to enjoy not hearing that on the 10th of February. We take that into our areas of influence. When the love of God consumes me, it naturally flows. When the love of God consumes you, it will just naturally flow to others. It'll just naturally flow. Like focused rays of sun shining through a magnifying glass. In all of our lives, I'll be surprised that we're not aware of some prodigal sons and daughters who are not currently enjoying the fullness of the Father's love. Is that true? So in Luke 15, we read, "So the prodigal son got up, went to his dad, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him and kissed him." The verb sort of expanded out through his arms around him is literally his father fell on him. Fell on him. This is unconditional love. The prodigal had effectively spat in his dad's eyes. And the father totally embraces him. He falls on him. It is the most beautiful picture of the father's love for people. He wants to fall on you. He wants to fall on all people and to embrace you. And that verb, translated through his arms around him, is actually used in the context of the Holy Spirit coming on the people in power. Do you remember in Acts 10, Peter is ministering to the Gentile household of Cornelius. And this is what we read. So he's speaking to them, verse 42, and he says, "Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." That's a pretty good word, isn't it? Why don't we say that together? Verse 43. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And came on all, guess what, is the same word as the Father embraced him. The Father threw his arms around him. The Father fell on the Son. The Holy Spirit embraced them. He threw his loving arms, if you like, around the Gentiles. And that's what God wants to do for literally every person. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, we're delighted that you're here. That's what the Heavenly Father wants this day, now, just to turn to him and be embraced by his loving arms. We can't crank love up ourselves. God is the originator of this transforming love, but we're the receivers of it. And to the extent that we open ourselves to God's love, to the greater and greater extent that we do that, then the more we can express it to others. I'll be surprised as I say this that someone's not thinking to themselves, I don't think I've advanced enough as a Christian to go and be this love messenger. I mean, down the road, I'm happy to do it. None of us are perfect as love messengers. If you wait to be perfect, you will fail in God's destiny that he has for you in this life. So it's not a question of being perfect, but I think it is the question of something else. Our Heavenly Father expects us to be people of word and spirit, to be consumed by the word, living our life in complete sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the full mantle of the Holy Spirit resting on us. He expects that. He expects us to be people of breakthrough prayer. So in the deeper services as they come along down the turnpike and on the Monday night, when there's an opportunity for corporate prayer, I beseech you, grab it. Because that's what our Heavenly Father has an expectation, that we will be people of breakthrough prayer. And as we're people of word and spirit and just in convo, corporately, individually with the Lord, we will be changed from glory to glory. And then, as you step out as love messengers, you can be certain that God will show up. Grace will be manifested as love is projected. Do you agree? Step out in faith and the Lord will never let you down. He will enable you to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit and the specific gifts that you will need in that situation so the captives are set free, so that the brokenhearted are healed, so that someone's ashes are removed and in their places put beauty, that there is joy and rejoicing rather than mourning. To who? To those who we do life with out in our metrons. I invite you to stand with me. When Jesus hung on the cross, he declared, "It is finished." That is, his job of redemption was complete. There is nothing that you'll ever need. There is nothing that the world will ever need that will require the Lord to go and do something in addition to what Jesus has already achieved. It is finished. But that total victory on the cross must be appropriated in your life, in my life, in any person's life. And it gets appropriated through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, he is your Saviour and Lord, you need to appropriate that total victory on the cross. Lord, come and change me. Lord, transform me. Remove those blockages in my soul, mind, will and emotions, so that the love flows from my spirit, that I can be a love messenger. Yes, in all of our frailty and all of our weakness, that we can be powerful love messengers. But for those who are enslaved in sin, they need to appropriate the victory of the cross, don't they? The Holy Spirit comes, lovingly challenges them, convicts them of sin, calls them to the Saviour, and they have to take that step. Yes, Lord Jesus, I bow. I bow the need. As we go out into our metrons in the power of the Spirit as love messages, you know what we're doing? We are spreading the fame of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the word fame is nearly synonymous with name, the name of God. We spread the fame of Jesus. We declare his name, which is the name above all names. We take the gospel to all the earth to release the kingdom, to release life. So I invite you today to let the Spirit rise up. Let it break through walls in your life. You might be just praying that now. Lord, come and break through those walls. If you sense that you are not in relationship with the Lord, just say, Lord, just break that wall down. I want to be in relationship. For those who are in relationship, Holy Spirit, come and break down walls of resistance. Beat down the doors. Crash through the windows and cover the earth, the earth. As I play this clip, I invite you to join in with these words as you get a handle on it. I want us just to remain standing and just allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our hearts. If you sense that the Lord is calling you this day to come to him, maybe for the first time, we encourage you to not put it off. In a few minutes when we sing our final song, I'm going to invite you to just take that step. It's not coming to the front saves you, it's putting your trust in the Lord Jesus that saves you. But you might want to come simply because you know and love the Lord Jesus, but a commitment to allow the Holy Spirit to come deeply, deeply and bring that transformation. I come to the front as an expression of asking the Lord to come and break down the walls, hardened walls that have been built up because of things that have happened to you in life. But the Holy Spirit wants to come and bring healing. So I invite you to take that step when we come to our final song. Think of no one else except you and the Lord. And you find if you just take that step, that physical step, it'll boost you inside. I invite all of us to speak out the words of truth that I've declared this day. I invite you to join with me as we decree these truths. Let's decree together. I decree in Jesus' name that my Heavenly Father so loves me that he sent his unique and incomparable Son to rescue me. I decree in Jesus' name that God the Father so loves every person who has or will ever live that he sent his unique and incomparable Son to rescue them. I decree in Jesus' name that God's love has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I decree that what I've received I will give away, and that in so doing, my well of love will never run dry. I decree in Jesus' name that as I step out as a love messenger, I will have all the gifts and resources I need to minister in my metron. I decree in Jesus' name that I am totally committed to the main game. I decree that I am committed to spreading the fame of Jesus wherever I go. And may the Lord deeply bless you.